In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My mother and my stepfather are traveling in California this week and sent me a picture of a brochure from a place they visited, which was this beautiful garden created by a deeply spiritual person who happened to be the sixth spouse of the person who owned this estate on which it was found. The sixth spouse. And I said to my mother, you know, I'm preaching about divorce this weekend because the gospel reading is about divorce, right? And I just have to say, I'm not sure what I would have said in premarital counseling for that sixth marriage. I don't mean to make light of what's a difficult subject and one that I think touches many of our lives. As I said, it was my mother and stepfather who were traveling. But let's take a deep breath and talk about it. Now that we've made it through this hectic month of September into October, and life is settling down, and the lectionary has been pitching us softballs week after week, so that last week we had plucking out eyes and cutting off limbs, this week we have divorce, who knows what uplifting delights next week could bring. Actually, I do, because I cheated and I looked, and it's the one about how we should all go and sell everything we have and give the money to the poor, because it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. But we'll get to that one next week. Divorce is a tricky topic to talk about, in part because there is no one experience of it. A divorce can be among the most devastating experiences of a person's life, for one or both of the partners, and for some or all of their children, if they have any. It can also be a life-saving experience, literally or metaphorically, the final thing that frees someone from an abusive or just a toxic relationship and allows them to move on with their life. Divorce can be one stage in a much longer story of tragedy and joy, of sadness and happiness, of the end of something and the beginning of something new. And it can be all of those things for the same person in the same marriage at different times. Some of you have met all four of my parents, all six of Murray's grandparents, and so you understand that this is not just an abstract thing, any more than it is, I imagine, for many of you who have had divorced parents or who have had your own marriage end at some point. So it's important to talk about and not just gloss these things over. This is a part of real life. It's something we need to talk about. We need to reckon with the things that Jesus says about it. Some of you, by the way, have come from churches with very different attitudes toward divorce than the attitude of the Episcopal Church, so it's probably worth saying what that is in the Episcopal Church. We actually have something in canon law. I could actually be stripped of my ordination if I didn't follow a simple rule, which is this. The first duty of the cleric when someone's marriage in distress is, quote, to protect and promote the physical and emotional safety of those involved, and only then to labor that the parties may be reconciled. So safety is the most important value, emotional and physical safety, when dealing with a marriage, and then reconciliation. We also recognize that reconciliation is not always possible, and divorce and remarriage are allowed in the Episcopal Church with a slightly different process than a first marriage would have. But the reason that talking about divorce in church is hard is not so much that divorce is hard, which it is. It's not that the church's official teaching is unclear or divided, which it is. It's that what Jesus has to say about divorce in this morning's gospel is hard. Our compassionate Messiah tells us that remarriage is equivalent to adultery, and then he tells us that we're being hard-hearted? That's a difficult word. I personally think it's usually worth digging into these passages rather than just writing them off or glossing them over. I don't mean it to explain away what Jesus says or to minimize his point. I don't mean it to try to convince you to swallow a bitter pill. But I do think it's useful to understand that marriage and divorce 2,000 years ago were different things from what they are today, and then try to grapple with what they might mean for us. Is it lawful, the Pharisees asked Jesus, trying once again to trick him into making some kind of gaffe, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? They ask a question about the law, and Jesus answers by deferring to the law via the great lawgiver, Moses. What did Moses command you? And they answer with a summary of the law that Moses gave about divorce, and Jesus is kind of disdainful. This was only necessary, he says, because of the hardness of your hearts. But before Moses allowed divorce, Adam and Eve were one flesh. What God has joined together, he summarizes in a verse that's found its way into our marriage liturgy, let no one put asunder. But it's important to be precise here. The Pharisees are exactly right. Is it lawful, they ask, for a man to divorce his wife? And this isn't just an old-fashioned gender-exclusive translation. Moses allowed a man to divorce his wife. It's true. There's no provision in Old Testament law for a woman to divorce her husband, nor do the rabbis a few generations later imagine any such thing happening. There's some evidence that extraordinarily powerful women, like members of the royal dynasty, might end their marriages, but that was more because they could flout religious law, not as a provision of it. There's literally one ancient document dug up in the desert that suggests an ordinary person might have been able to do the same thing. But divorce was, on the whole, a completely one-sided affair. A man could write a divorce certificate, a get, and divorce his wife. And that was that. There was no reciprocity there. Does anyone, by the way, listen to This American Life? Last week's episode? Okay, last week's episode was about a women in particular Orthodox communities, right, in which women can't be remarried unless their husband writes a get for them. They can have a civil divorce, they can leave their husbands, and they're protected by law, say they've been in a relationship with abuse, but they can't remarry. And certain husbands will sometimes use this to manipulate their former spouses. I'll only give you the get if you give me XYZ custody rights that I haven't gotten by the state. And the story was about a particular rabbi who had a sort of gang of toughs, including people like former special forces, who would kidnap and use particularly physical interrogation methods to force these husbands to write the certificate of divorce. These are the kinds of strange effects and consequences that come from that particular kind of divorce law. It was an interesting episode. Now, it didn't mean that a woman would have been left totally destitute if she were divorced by her husband, to be fair. She would have had a dowry she had brought into the marriage. She would have property she would bring back with her. But it was a patriarchal society. Discussions of divorce in the centuries around Jesus can sound shocking to modern ears. One of the more infamous examples comes from the Mishnah, which is a collection of rabbinic teaching and law, where they're discussing in this part the rules around divorce. It records three schools of thought on the interpretation of a particular verse in Deuteronomy. The verse says, suppose a man enters into a marriage with a woman, but she finds no favor in his eyes because he finds something objectionable about her, and so he writes her a certificate of divorce. It's likely this or a related verse that Jesus and the Pharisees are thinking about. So the Mishnah lists these three schools of thought. The house of Shammai says, a man should divorce his wife only because he's found grounds for it in unchastity, since it's said, because he's found in her indecency in anything. In other words, only if she is unfaithful. The house of Hillel, the less restrictive house, answers, even if she spoiled his dish, since it's said, because he's found in her indecency in anything. And then a few generations later, Rabbi Akiba, the famous Rabbi Akiba, replies, even if he found someone else prettier than she, since it is said, and it shall be if she finds no favor in his eyes. This is the spectrum of acceptable ideas about divorce in the years before and after Jesus. A man could divorce his wife. The debate was whether he could only do it if she was unfaithful, or he could do it if she'd burned dinner, or even if he just saw someone prettier. A woman could perhaps divorce her husband if she were a princess, or particularly powerful, but that was about it. But this, Jesus says, is not the way that things were meant to be. That is, perhaps, the only real conclusion we can draw from what Jesus says. He zooms out from this debate about the particularities of divorce law, about what cases in which a man could or could not divorce his wife, to make that one observation. This isn't the way things were meant to be. Moses has to accommodate the messy realities of human life as it is. But Jesus wants to tell the story starting from an earlier time. He goes back, in fact, to the Garden of Eden, to the days before that first original sin, to a time, in other words, when life wasn't quite so messy after all. At the beginning of creation, sure, Adam and Eve were joined together and made one flesh. And there's truth in that observation. Two people become in marriage no longer two, but one. Their lives are joined together, and the undoing of that is inevitably messy and painful, whatever millennium you're in. So no, Jesus says, That's not the way things were supposed to be. But none of this is the way that things were supposed to be. Nobody ever comes into premarital counseling saying, I expect this marriage to end in 5 to 10 years. Nobody does. This isn't the way things are supposed to be, is it? Nobody wants the mess of a family or a relationship falling apart. And yet God is present in the messiest situations of our lives. It's not to say that we should simply endure it, simply live in the situation because God is there. Not at all. It's to say that God is able, whether we can imagine it or not, to bring forth new things of beauty from the deepest places of our despair. That God has already descended with us into the depths of despair in all parts of our lives. That God has, as Hebrews writes, tasted death itself and brought forth life. And the God who is, as our collect said, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, can redeem and will redeem and is redeeming the messiest and the most difficult parts of our lives, can transform and will transform even the suffering of death into the glory and honor that Hebrews describes. It wasn't supposed to be this way. It could be about marriage. It could be about whatever other things are broken in our lives. It wasn't supposed to be this way. And yet it is. And God is here. And God is making all things new. I don't know who I would be today were it not for my particular secondhand experience of divorce. I wouldn't have the same values, the same priorities, the same neuroses that I do today. Have I sometimes wished that Jesus' words were law and there were no divorce? Sure. Are both of my parents much more happily remarried than they were married? Also, yes. Does that mean it was all worth it in the end? Can we do the math and add up the pluses and minuses and figure it out? I don't know that we can. We can try to argue back and forth about the particularities of the law. We can try to shift the meaning one way or another to make it stricter or looser, to protect one party or the other. But in the end, all that we have is our imperfect and messy lives as they are. And all we can know is that they are not the way they were meant to be and that God is with us in them anyway. All I know, for my part, is that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, is bringing us, God's many children, to glory, one way or another, in the end. Amen.